All right, guys, welcome to back to the 79th episode of the 443 podcast. We're running a little bit late this week. And just to give you guys some house cleaning updates, the first and second week of April, we will not be putting out a pod. I'll be out of country, and I'll hopefully have an exciting football-related story for you. Maybe two. I'm going to try and still get the second one done, but logistics in the ground on the country I'm going to may not allow me to go see both of them. But Reese, welcome back. You're in the hood in North Phoenix with me. Well, hood adjacent, I think, is the best way to look at it. This our location, our studio.
Our podcast is best run when we're in person. The vibes are there. The energy is there. We're going to get right into it, guys, because we got a fat episode for you guys today. We want to go through predictions.
P-H-A-T.
Indeed. we got a lot of predictions, especially today. So let's jump into it. All the way back to Saturday, March 15th, we have Everton drawing West Ham 1-1. David Moyes got a visit from his old friends at West Ham, and he walked away with another performance that did not involve a loss. Matt, what were your thoughts on it?
I was excited to see this because, like, we always, both of us kind of pick teams, and yep. Everton's always been like my third team. Like, I don't want to see them go down. Yep. To me, when I entered the league, like I've said this a billion times, Everton was what Tottenham is now when I became a fan of this league.
Yep.
They were considered a big six team.
And
or the little brother to the big four or five.
Yeah, they were around. They were always like in that, I'd say, like what Villa,
Europa League.
Yeah, Villa, time. Newcastle area, mm-hmm. where they are kind of now. Well, Newcastle, congratulations to them, by the way, for winning the Carabao Cup over Liverpool. Very big achievement.
Oh, something your team couldn't do. Sorry, that's my one diss of the day.
That's insane. You're going to take me back to trauma this early.
I know.
But Everton got a 91st minute equalizer to walk away with the point.
Who scored the West Ham goal?
It was our boy Thomas Souček.
Oh.
Yeah, shout out Thomas Souček. But credit to both teams.
Sad for your boy Tommy Tuchel. Or not,
Graham Potter. Yes. Tommy Tuchel's actually cooking up with the England side.
MLS.
They look good. Yeah, MLS got on the score sheet. It was a good performance.
Hey, if you guys want to read a good article, look up, I believe it's in The Athletic. Jacob Hawley wrote an article on the treatment of Miles Lewis-Skelly.
Interesting.
In this new call-up and how people are, he's an acquaintance, like a social media acquaintance, chat every now and then on some stuff, and he cued me onto it, and it's kind of interesting.
Well, and I think what Tuchel is doing that's different, we could just jump into this, mm-hmm. Is he's mixing up the veterans with the youth, and you know, they brought in Miles Lewis-Skelly, they brought back Jordan Henderson, who a lot of people didn't like, but I think of like, you know,
I understand why people don't like Jordan, because Jordan's availability is the most valuable thing to a manager, but to a fan, it's a curse.
Yeah, because they think he's too old, you know, and can't play at that level anymore, but what he offers is just leadership, mm-hmm. and where they failed...
He's been there, he's done everything, he's seen everything.
Exactly, and if you look at the previous performances under Southgate, it was really just Harry Kane. You can maybe argue Lord Harry Maguire as a possible other experienced player in that starting 11, but they lacked a lot of experience in that group.
He used Henderson for a long time until this recent Euros. I think it got to him because he was trying to...
He fell into
Trent
that...
Trent to fill that role, which made no sense.
He fell into what everybody was pushing him to do, which was rely more on the youth.
It's a double-edged sword because even when Arsenal was in Project Youth, they still had experienced players, and we've seen your team struggle with the shift away from getting... Thiago Silva was so valuable to your team, and now he's gone, and Cucurella is the most experienced player on the pitch, and he's only 25, right?
Yeah.
He looks older than he is, but he's a young man. He's like a senior when all the rest are freshmen and sophomores and juniors.
And that's the thing is, when you go through these experiences like
Thiago's... He's won the Euros. So.
Yeah. But when you go through these experiences like Thiago Silva or Jordan Henderson, like they are able to provide verbal communication about what may happen, what can happen from these next 5 minutes of a game when you're only up 1-0 and you need to hold on to a lead.
Well, not to mention you can even turn to like a Miles or a Jude and go, oh yeah, that guy over there, I've played him like 16 times. If you put him under pressure, he's going to go to his strong side.
Yeah.
You know, so you know ahead of time where to put your foot.
Yeah. And obviously the scouting department can provide input in it, but it's not happening in real time.
Yeah, it's not on the pitch, exactly. Which he can just get in the young man's ear and be like, hey,
Exactly.
He's always going to his right. When soon as you put him under pressure, focus on his right foot or focus on his dominant foot or try to push him this way and that way because, you know.
Yeah. I agree.
Because keep in mind, you have Jordan Henderson who's played like 500 games, I think it is. Some crazy number. Easily. And you have Miles Lewis-Skelly, who, in terms of first-team games, is still in like single digits for Arsenal. He might be in low double digits now, but he's in a single-digit call-up for his home country on the biggest stage. And he's in the maybe high single digits, low teens for
professional first-team
play.
But I also like them bringing back Dan Byrne as well as an option to Miles Lewis-Skelly because that's a lot of versatility in that defense now. And that's something that they've been lacking is a left back who is one reliable like Miles Lewis-Skelly, but also an option to that left back because they would rely too much on Luke Shaw. They would rely too much on Trent out wide in the right back position. So,
Well, and also the versatility is like something that even we saw with Manchester City had for so long that they're starting to not have any.
Yeah.
Because you had all these versatile players that you could throw on there. And even though they fit Pep's system.
That's the thing.
If you're Pep's asking, if there's five, let's say there's five options for a player to do. And Pep demands three at all times. And one guy can provide one, two, three, and five. Another guy can provide one, two, three, and four. Mm-hmm. You're changing it up because now you're used to playing one, two, three, and five. Now you're playing one, two, three, and four. And you do that across the whole board. And that's what Man City has lost is they've lost that.
Became a little bit too predictable.
Too predictable. They have to get it to Haaland because Haaland's the only forward guy they have unless they play on the wings. And then you double pin Haaland, you stop them. Now you have to rely on these guys to cut through a five-man defense and score.
Yeah. But it's I like what Tuchel's doing with this side. But it's only been one game, so we'll continue to see that single
Is the other game today? I know you're excited for the national game, national team
I think they play tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And then they head back for training and stuff. But credit to both Everton and West Ham.
Where are we heading next, sir?
We got Ipswich at home losing to Nottingham Forest. 4-2. Late goal from Jota Silva to clinch their win over a struggling Ipswich side. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
I watched this game, and I'm going to be honest with you, man. Forest just outclassed them, but Ipswich took advantages that they could get.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stats. Gave them,
they couldn't win the game, but they never quit. Yeah. Because both their goals came after the 80th minute when the game was basically done. Forest had locked it up by 41 minutes. Both Ipswich's goals came in the 80 to 90 minute range. It really, you could, I was impressed that Forest let it happen, but also they didn't freak out like Sean Dyche's Everton did last year. You know what I mean? Like they was closing and then they said no and then they got the goal to just say, all right, you know.
You're used to that from experience, like teams who are challenging for top four, but it's good to see
I'm
this.
Sorry,
from a
the
like
fourth
this.
Goal came at 87. I think I remember it out of order in my head. So they scored a goal. You thought there's hope. They extinguished hope. Then they scored again, but then they ran out of time.
Exactly. But I agree. I thought Ipswich, based off what the stats are saying, it looks like they had a little bit more possession, so it seemed like it was a forced, organized, structured defensively after they got their early goals. But this is, if you're challenging for top four, this is you have to win these types of games. You can't fold.
If you want to be in the Champions League, you have to beat Ipswich twice.
Exactly.
Or if you could draw to them, then you have to win a big game.
Chelsea lost to Ipswich. It's not looking good for us. Alrighty, credit to Nottingham Forest. Into the next game, guys. We got Man City drawing Brighton 2-2. A penalty from Erling Haaland, goal from Marmoush shortly after, and then a stupid Jan and Kusinov with an own goal.
Sorry for the background noise, guys. Paco is adjusting himself in the chair.
But this looked like it was an entertaining draw. I remember watching a little bit of highlights on this one. Man, Marmoush is just so fast, dude. Like he's
the new striker they brought in, correct?
Egypt. He is just a very running behind the lines type of player, and he's not a Pep system player, as you were alluding to a little bit earlier. He is a versatile player that's hard to predict.
Of the four
team.
Players they brought in the winter break, I think he's the one that I'm most scared of. He needs some. I don't know where Sergio Aguero is, but I think he needs to. Like, remember when Eddie broke into Arsenal and they brought in Ian Wright to like kind of be his
mentor.
Yeah, like the guy from Rocky who's like, come on, Rock, the old man.
Yeah, his coach.
Yeah. I think they need to bring Sergio in to give this guy a little bit of...
Continue to push
Robin Van Persie's doing with Højlund.
Yeah.
I think he needs somebody who plays a similar style to like kind of help him out because I don't think you know, actually Mo's not a striker. He's not going to help him, even though they're from the same national team.
But he like, but just what he's done so far is, has been sort of like a rejuvenation for this side. But at the same time, they still draw to walk away with a point.
And yeah, well, I've said this at the beginning of the season. I thought they were going to bring in Marmoush over the summer break because they lost. Who's they went to? Alvarez went to Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid. Yep.
Yeah, he was such a. To me, at the beginning of the season, that was such a glaring thing that you're going to just rely on Haaland. I'm not one of these. Like I've changed and shifted my view on Haaland, but. I always thought he should be your number one, but you need a number two because Haaland does certain things very, very, is the best in the world of certain things, but he doesn't have other tools in his toolbox.
Yeah, he is the best poacher on the planet, but if they are in scenarios where they have to play a little bit more transition and they need a little bit of pace, Alvarez was that guy for him. So now that they have Marmoush.
But they got $90 million for him, so, yeah. I mean...
Hey, but that $90 million is working out for Atletico Madrid. He's balling for him then. Yeah. So congrats to Atletico Madrid, by the way. That was great business. But with Marmoush, you know, you're right. You know, it took a little while for them to get this player, and now they're sort of in this not slump, but gray area, I would say, where we don't know if they're in good form or not anymore.
They needed him early on, I think, to get him wedded to this team, get him coached up, get him acclimated to the country, the climate.
But he's hit the ground running. You know,
I mean, I think he could have been. They would have been doing better, and they would have been for far sure. superior by now. They would probably be in second or third. Well, I know they're probably in third right now, right?
They're in fourth.
Okay,
right, fourth or fifth. Yeah.
I think Liverpool, if they had him, would have basically already won the league by now because I think that they would have gotten some points off of Arsenal and stuff like that. And made it so it's everyone's fighting for second and third, and we're done with the season by now for the champion.
Yep. Credit to both sides here. Into the next game, we got Southampton at home losing to Wolves 2-1. The man, the myth, the legend, Jorgen Strand Larsen in the 19th minute and the 47th minute. I've been saying all season that this young man, he looks like a potential big six type of striker. He just needs to continue on that path because this was a good performance from him. I'm trying to see if the dude who scored for Southampton is who I think it is. Paul Onuachu.
Yeah, Onuachu.
Yes, 6'7". This dude is 30 years old, Matt, and he's 6'7", but he's got crazy ball control.
So he's just Peter Crouch with ball control?
Dude, he's a beast, man. Just a fun player to watch. So, guys, if you catch a Southampton game, keep an eye on him. He's just a fun build for a football player. Like, you don't see these 6'7" strikers anymore, like Peter Crouch, as you're talking about. But he's also got this weird sort of balance to him where the ball is just a magnet to him. So I think he's one of the more underappreciated players in the league because he is,
unfortunately. Could he be a good player for a team, let's say, like Everton?
I mean, Everton, of course, because they've just...
Well, they built around Calvert-Lewin.
They breed these types of players.
More mobile Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen him play once or twice this season. I wasn't watching this game because I was keeping an eye on Ipswich.
Mm-hmm. He's just a fun player. So if you guys are interested in some underrated players in the league nowadays that don't really get talked about, look up some highlights of him. He's a cool player. But credit to Wolves. Let me see where they are in the table because I just...
They're right at 17th, I think.
I believe you're correct. Yeah, they're 8 points ahead or 9 points ahead of Ipswich. You know, if they just hit that 30-point threshold, I think they'll be fine. So, credit to Wolves. Into the next game here, we got our last game of the Saturday slate. Sorry, guys. We got Bournemouth at home losing to the Bees at Brentford.
The Bee Derby.
Yeah.
The red and bee named Derby.
Two of our favorite coaches, you know, in the league as well, going at it.
So on side note. Tottenham, I don't want to call it Twitter because I'm on Blue Sky, and what's the other one I'm on? The one that's Threads. I don't mess with X. I apologize, Elon. Please don't kill me. The big buzz is that Fulham's manager, Thomas Frank, and Areola are going to replace Ange.
Those are like the three candidates for the Spurs job? Interesting.
I kind of hope none of them take it because I think that all of them are making their teams into very interesting sides, and I kind of don't want And this isn't my Arsenal hat. I don't want them to go into that toxic cauldron right now that has become the Tottenham fan base with their, you know, 60,000 person stadium with everyone yelling at everybody and they're overreactionary. All fans are reactionary, but just at Tottenham right now, it just seems like they're lashing out like Man United fans. But unlike them, Man United has done something in the last 17 years.
I just, for me, the reason I wouldn't want them to join Spurs right now is simply because of the board. You know, if I feel like if they've made all the wrong decisions for Ange, and, you know, Ange will once again be the scapegoat for it. So when they hire and bring in a new flashy manager, it's going to look exciting. It's going to look like they want to, you know, build something around this manager. But it may just turn into a cycle. So I'm just worried. But
I think all three of those men could turn this Tottenham side with the players they have into a team that would be far better than they are now, but would probably still sit at that fifth through eighth range.
Yeah. They need to break the cycle, though. Mm-hmm. Break the wheel. Game of Thrones reference for you guys. Yeah. But credit to Brentford. Big win. Into the Sunday slate. We are building towards the big London Derby.
Let's go over a little bit of it just to give them their due. My boy Wiese scored for Brentford, and Norgaard got the winner. Well, actually, technically, they scored all their goals.
Yep. Own goal from Janelt for the Bournemouth goal. But Matt, from what I saw this game,
Bournemouth outplayed him from the looks of the stats. I was watching Ipswich.
Yeah,
this was a game I had to live life on. I had to get out of the house and get shit done.
This is just a tactical masterclass, I'd say, from Frank. When you get the bees buzzing like this in a defensive structure and play on the
Bournemouth.
Counter. No, I know, but let me cook. Defensive structure that Brentford have is hard to break down. And when they get out on the counter, they're so hard to stop. So when you look at the transition patterns of what Frank does, man, I feel like they can get outplayed for 90 minutes but still walk away with one shot on goal, and it is a goal because that's how much, you know, that's how well-structured they are. They're just a good structured team.
That's why I kind of, if those three I mentioned, I kind of think Frank would be the best one to get Spurs back on a track because Silva is hit or miss. And Areola took a good minute to get rolling. Frank kind of came into Brent. He brought them up.
My thing with Frank is, and Spurs is, are they going back to their older structure of with the
they
Conte, Mourinho? Or are they, because that's basically what you're deciding. Do we go back to what we were building with Conte and Mourinho with the Frank structure? Except it's a little bit different, of course. Or do you go with the front-footed Antonio Silva and Areola? So that's the decision that they'll have to make, and see what's best for their club going forward. But I don't have faith long-term either way for any of these choices in this board. But you know me and my Areola beliefs, I think you can kill it anywhere.
I as an Arsenal fan, don't want Areola to go to Tottenham. That I'm going to put my hat on finally now. I think he would make them dangerous, but I don't know if he could survive the politics.
Exactly. I'm with you there. But,
where are we heading next, sir? Because I think we're going to skip the marquee game and move it to the back.
From one London derby to a different London derby.
Oh, yes.
We got Fulham at home beating Spurs 2-0.
Speaking of Spurs, this is what I was talking about.
Great
man.
Swag
did
way.
You see, I kept jumping into this game to see what happened at the end because our game was kind of a turgid mess.
I can't wait
the 4-4-3 derby.
Yeah.
But I kept jumping back and forth. I had this game on my phone. I had the other one on my thing while I was playing Switch at the end because our game was so boring. And let me tell you, the Tottenham fans were not happy with this.
Yeah.
They're used to facing the Chelseas, the West Hams, and the Arsenals of London. Now they're getting bullied by the Fulhams, the Brentfords, and the Crystal Palaces.
Has me worried for the border London teams, like your Palaces, you know, like if Spurs. Can Spurs just get swept the second half of the season from the London teams? That would not be
well,
a good
well, my
look
stoppage
at all.
Time will include another team in the very bottom half that we have to look at their schedule. I haven't looked at Tottenham's, but we could do both those, and that could be my stoppage time question for you, is to go over what Spurs and Man United, what the end of their season. There's a chance in the next game we're going to cover that Man United could go win the Europa League and not win a game until the end of the season based off their schedule.
Yeah, I've seen that, so I'm excited to talk about it.
And we should look at Fulham or Tottenham first in stoppage time, but go over that. But dude, Arsenal's East Arsenal did a hell of a job in this game. None of my Arsenal lads scored, but they helped.
Muniz was great. I watched the highlights of this game, and he's just such a physical striker. Again, sort of on that Strand Larsen, just a young striker who has a lot of potential. But man, I look at the Spurs lineup. They rely so heavy on Mickey Van de Ven that it's almost too much of a reliability on him because they have just been suffering since they've lost him. And I feel like if you're going to play that style of football, and I love the Postecoglou system, as you know, I don't think he should be fired or anything like that, but the system is so risky where if you lose a key player like Van de Ven, they are costing themselves points. And there's no other center back in the world like Van de Ven, because no center back possesses the pace that Van de Ven has. Like, so it's going to be tough for one.
I think you'd have to make a winger, like I'm not a, I'm talking like a, left a back. Fullback, yeah. A left back into a central.
Yeah. Well, typically they've been replacing him with Archie Gray, the poor kid who is like 18 years old and plays center mid, and they've been sticking him at center back. Thankfully they didn't this time, but still was to no avail. But I'm worried for the Spurs side.
I had mixed emotions in this game. I felt joy, dread, and oh my God, what the Spurs going to blow everything up? But of course, Dan Levy's not going to blow anything up. He's going to blame Ange and bring in another guy to sacrifice.
Exactly. So, but this was all Fulham. It was a great performance from them. The Arsenal B team is still kicking on. Again, I will hold my hands up. I was doubting this team preseason, but they have proven me wrong on.
They always kind of worry me as an Arsenal fan because they are one of those teams that they're not our Spurs. That's more Southampton, I think, now. But they're a team that can punches above their weight, and just like Unai, if he's got a bug in his rug again about something, he really prepares his team for it.
And it's just so funny because it's literally from 12th place or 11th place to 4th place. There's an 8-point gap, and Fulham right now is 4 points off the top four. So this the top four battle is, in my opinion, the biggest part of the season because it's been comfortably one team at the top. The three teams at the bottom have comfortably been at the bottom. The race is really for top four and who finishes higher between Spurs and Man United, you know? So
and Chelsea.
And yeah, exactly. So credit to Fulham. Into the next game here, we got Leicester. Unfortunately, not an Van Nistelrooy outing that we were hoping for. It was 3-0 to United. Goals from Højlund, Garnachos, and our boy Bruno Fernandes.
Brother.
It was comfortable, Matt. What were your thoughts
watching
on this game?
The social media reaction of this game? You think they like
won the title?
They think they won the Carabao Cup that weekend.
Shout out to Newcastle again for winning the Carabao Cup.
I saw so many were back. Look at us, Amorim's in the driver's seat now, and I'm like, I hate to say it, man. I think you beat a team that only won two games the whole season.
My thing is, Matt, as well, is like it wasn't even like a pretty performance. Mm-mm. Like Leicester,
it was rough.
Leicester had comfortable possession in spots of the game where I felt like they almost dominated certain parts of the game. Like in the first 15, 20 minutes, I felt like it was a little too comfortable.
The system kind of cedes the center to the team and relies on to run that brick wall. But Leicester didn't succumb to it. They got caught three times, but they're a relegation side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing Manchester United. You're probably going to lose, but this whole season they haven't looked like a team. They look like for 15 minutes of a team.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it.
They've always been a clinical team. Like they have known to have been scoring their chances when they take them, but it's everything behind the scoring chances that it worries us. I think is defensively, the transition. But it's still early in this Amorim, so we're gonna give him some time. But it was a good win for United. But settle the praises down because you guys are still have a long way to build towards.
We're gonna look at your schedule, guys, Man United fans. This brings me no joy. You're not gonna get relegated, but it could be a very rough end of the season from what I'm seeing. You guys got.
And if it ends up working out and you guys have a great end of the season, you have something to build on for next. So I'm excited to talk about the schedule. Credit to United into the big 4-4-3 derby. which was Dollar a band. Huge, huge letdown. We have a...
Yeah, this is a shit game.
It was a big win for Arsenal. It was a 1-0 win for Arsenal. My prediction held steady.
Who even scored? I don't even remember. Oh, Mourinho. Okay. Yeah,
of course. The I had big a look. Number nine.
Oh, yeah. Shut up.
But, guys, there was no Cole Palmer for Chelsea. Obviously, Arsenal has a bunch of injuries as well. Saka missing, of course, still. But
and I hate this. So let me... Like, I'm going to defend Cole Palmer here. I'm really hating this narrative in the media that they're looking at his stats and they're like, he hasn't shown up in big games. Yeah, he's missing, but it's like, and then they mentioned, like, I don't remember who did it. It was one of the people on NBC or on Sky Sports mentioned, where was he at Arsenal? He wasn't playing in the game. Like, how, like, so, like, here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago, I had some teeth problems, and that's right. I got a waiver on getting out of a performance review because my boss was like, yeah, he got it on the first day of the month. He had 50 good reviews. He was 4 short, and then he lost a tooth. He couldn't talk. It hurt him to talk. Like, he did the best he could, but they basically put me on a, because it was the end of the fiscal year, I basically got a bye because I couldn't do my job. I did my job for 29 days or 28 days of the month. 27 of them I kicked ass. I made one mistake. I was trying to make up for it, and then I got sidelined because I couldn't talk because when I rub my cheek against my tooth, it hurt the nerve.
Exactly. Yep.
Even with that Aura gel on it, it didn't do enough to make it so I could talk for 30 minute conversations for an entire 7 hours.
So this got you riled up for about Cole Palmer.
Yeah, it does, because it's like, yeah, he probably is performance dropped off because he's hurt.
you'd think that has something to do with it. Now, into the game itself, guys.
They did this with shit with Saka too, where like he had 3 games where he didn't produce anything, and then he blew out his fucking hamstring. Like, obviously the guy's hurting. He's just out there trying to do the best he can with what he has, and he doesn't have it any right now.
Yeah, and he has no support around him either. And that's basically where Chelsea lacked in this game was the
Nico Jackson is, I think, the chaos agent that Chelsea's missing.
Yeah.
100%. Without him, Cole Palmer doesn't have a, I hate the term sidekick, a partnership to work with.
It's a sidekick, 100%. Cole Palmer is Batman, Nico Jackson is Robin. That's what makes them a great tandem. That's what made them statistically the best duo in the Premier League since they've started.
Okay, so you and me are on the same page on this.
Yeah.
But just I hate the takes about these players. It's like he's missing his partner.
Matt, you're supposed to be the one that tells me to chill out in these, because you know I'd be hating the media so much.
I know, but it's driving me nuts lately because it's like
let's talk about the
Miles Lewis Skelly thing and these people. I don't want to be defending millionaires, but at the same time, it's like it seems like there's a contingent of the media just decides they're just going to tear people down. And it doesn't make any sense to me because it's like you should be building up Cole Palmer. Like the U.S., if we played in basketball, the U.S., because soccer is a whole different thing. We're in our own throats right now.
Get us started on the U.S. soccer, yes.
In USA basketball, there is a defense of players that play and a defense of an attack on players that aren't playing because they think they can make this team better. Remember the Devin Booker controversy in the before the Olympics, the last Olympics, where he wasn't playing in the team and the Suns were shit. And everyone, like from Bill Simmons, to Brian Russillo, all these guys were just like, Booker, you don't have big game experience. Go play in the Olympics, play in some big games. You have to play Argentina. You have to play Slovakia. You have to play Croatia. Go get some big game minutes in these games.
Yeah.
Who gives a crap if you get hurt? You play for a crap team.
And, you know, with Chelsea right now, I'm just thinking, like, the only positives like, that
they weren't going,
game,
oh, Devin Booker's a coward. They're like, Devin Booker, get the thing you miss is big minutes in big games.
Yeah.
They're trying to boost him up. They were being old dicks about it, but they were still, their goal was to make the USA team better because they knew Devin Booker could do it. Yeah. And he has become a better player since he's been participating in U.S. men's basketball.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about the game. The game, guys, to prophesize, was very boring. When you have two teams who are missing a lot of attacking threats, and Arsenal are such a good defensively structured team where Chelsea can break down a team like Leicester. You know, they maybe can get a goal against Brighton, but with the defensive force that Arsenal have been this season and the lack of attacking threat that Chelsea had, it was a great, great defensive performance from Arsenal. But the positives, Matt, from this game that I took, I saw Romeo Lavia get subbed on. I saw Reece James get 60 minutes of football in. Nico Jackson's going to be back after the international break. Chelsea are here for the home stretch to try and get into top four. And, you know, we'll talk about United. We'll talk about Spurs. Chelsea is in the mix for both of those teams that they have to play against. So it's also a tough schedule for, you know, Chelsea.
Not to mention, your team is vital for what's going to happen with the Newcastle Isak transfer for Liverpool, Arsenal, whoever else is in the mix for him. Because if Newcastle can get Champions League, he's probably going to stay.
Yep.
And, like, I was listening to an Arsenal podcast where they're just like, we need to win this game, but we also need Chelsea to win all their other games because Chelsea is one of these teams that's in the mix to help us get what the player we need. And even if we can get an option for him, it's going to cost us $160 million. It's over half our rumored budget.
Yeah.
But I think that Liverpool and Arsenal are right to pursue this man because he is too damn good.
100%. I hope Chelsea are involved too. If they get top four, they don't have PSR issues. I hope we can be in the mix for them too, but I don't think we're ready for him yet.
You need Champions League because you need it to, because it may make, if you don't get it this season, I think from what I've been, I listened to this Money Pod on thing. And
may run into some financial issues.
You run into some financial issues because even if you get it this year, you're going to have a rough year in there. But if you don't get it this year, because of the way it counts,
it's gonna be really
it
tough.
Doesn't count for next year. It counts for the year after because you get the money after you participate.
Yep.
So next year is going to be rough. But the year after, if you don't have it, it's going to be even rougher.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting the rest of the season.
And they went into some stuff on Clear Lake Capital that I don't fully understand. Yeah. I guess it's about something about pots and buckets and investments for them and how you're in a bucket that is the first time they've lost money. They've always been ahead of the curve, but the investment in you guys.
But at the same time, though.
I don't fully understand it because they were talking like when you and me get on our riffs about inside jokes, they were talking about it, and I just was like, what the
so basically what they're saying is Chelsea knew, the board knew that they were going to be taking a loss with this team, but they're so used to building their teams very differently. But I think with the way football is ran now, they kind of took a risk and they wanted to try and take a loss for these first, not try and take a loss, obviously they wanted top four and trophies, but they knew about the possibility of not getting top four. So I think it's just a very risky approach that they took, and they knew that they were possibly going to be taking a loss on it. It's just they've never done it before because they built the Lakers. You know, when they bought the Lakers, at that point, I think they
are they the Dodgers? Or the
Clear Lake. So Todd Boehly has ownership in both the Dodgers and the Lakers. Oh. But Lakers were already a profound wealthy team when they took partial ownership. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. You know, when you have such huge markets like L.A., you know, it's easy to make money and not take losses. He didn't buy Manchester United, you know, a top three merchandise club in the world. So they knew the risk they were taking. But Matt, what were your thoughts on this game itself? I know you don't want to talk about the game. I don't want to talk about this game. But you guys took a win. It was a big 3 points. Hit me with it.
It was a game I desperately didn't want to lose. But it was just a game. It was on at 6:30, brother. It was rough.
Oh, yes, guys, sorry. Last weekend was completely my fault. We didn't have a podcast. I was up around 2 a.m.
Yeah, Reese couldn't sleep.
Fell asleep, woke up at 3:30. So then I was up from 3:30 to the 6:30. Fell asleep for like the first 15 minutes of the game. Woke up, stared at the screen for 45 minutes because nothing happened for the first, you know, outside of the Marino goal. Fell back asleep for the halftime show. And then I think I woke up at like the 70th minute and I was like, Matt, I don't know if I can function right now.
We had planned to record in the morning, and then I said afternoon. They say if you still want to do it on the evening, he's just like, nah, I'm not.
Yeah, I slept all day, man. But this was a big win for Arsenal. They're still keeping the race on statistically, so it's exciting still. But
you ready to get into some previews?
Let's do it, my friend. What do you got for me?
All right, first up. So this is match week 30.
The Arsenal rivalry. Sorry, not rivalry. The Arsenal game. Wait. Arsenal A versus B. There we go. Sorry.
Actually, we're going to cover Wolves versus West Ham first, Tuesday, April 1st at 11:45 a.m. And this most likely will be our last pod. We'll try to get it in before I take my foreign trip.
Okay.
But for 2 weeks. But first off, we have West Ham versus Wolves. This is 11:45 a.m. on Tuesday, April 1st.
Two struggling sides. Graham Potter in need of some points on his end here if he wants to be the manager next season for the West Ham Hammers. I don't like
I think he's going to stay because I don't think they can, for PSR coaches affected, I don't think they should sack him. They give him a good pay package, and you need to give the guy time to build his team and figure out what he has and what he needs.
That's fair. I don't like either of these teams right now. Like, they're both not appealing teams to watch. I think
1-1.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to go with the draw as well. I'll go 1-1-2.
All right, next up we have Arsenal. Sorry, Fulham traveled to the Emirates. And that previous game, sorry, West Ham traveled to Wolves.
Yes. Matt, this game's going to be fun.
I think they're going to do us.
I think Fulham's attacking threat against your defensive structure is going to be the main biggest talking point in this. And it's going to be very entertaining. Are you guys getting any pieces back after the international break?
Allegedly, Saka is back in training. He may be there back in time, but I don't know if he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be in time for this game. The best they can do is the Real Madrid game. And even that, it's like voodoo of trying to get him back up and running.
I miss soccer ball, man. Soccer ball is fun. I hope you guys get him back.
Well, a lot of the pieces are coming back. Jesus and Havertz aren't going to be back this season. Saka's the last one who can return.
Oh, okay.
Ben White is back. Martinelli is back. Oh, forgot about it. Calafiori's gone out injured now. So, yeah, but he'll be out 3 weeks. So, this just happened over the thing, over the Italian game.
Calafiori's
out for 3 to 4 weeks. Mazzuschelli didn't get injured. He'll probably be playing left back for us in this game.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so of the players that can turn us down to Saka and Calafiori.
I miss soccer ball.
Because Havertz will be next season, not next, not opening next season, sometime next season. And Gabriel will maybe be late next in 2027 from what I'm hearing.
Damn. Okay.
Or sorry, 2026. It'll be after the season picks up sometime in the next, not the end. Havertz will come back before the end of this year. Jesus is out till next year, till 2026. Havertz will be back before in sometime in the early part of next season. Calafiori 3 weeks. Saka is getting back into training. We don't know when he'll be back playing.
Gotcha. Looking at it historically, you might be right, Matt. Fulham drawed you guys last time out.
One of our bogey teams. They're a London bogey team.
But with that said, they only do this to you guys in December. So technically, we're not in December anymore.
No, we're going to be in April. It's April Fool's Day.
Oh, gosh. What do you got in this one, Matt?
Fulham 2, Arsenal 1.
I'm going to go with a 1. Because
all they know they need to do against us is get a goal early, and then we throw ourselves at them, and then they can play counterattacking football. They've done it to us 3 times from my memory recently.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 Arsenal win. Okay. I still believe in the defensive structure.
If Arsenal gets the first goal, they're going to win the game. If Fulham gets the first goal, it's going to be a shit show.
Gotcha. I can see it. What's next up for us?
All right. Next up, we have Manchester United traveling to Nottingham Forest.
So, guys, as you can see, we're hinting towards huge games for Manchester United coming up here. But, Matt, let me say this.
3-1 para mí.
For the people that don't know any Spanish at all, Matt just said 3-1 to you.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah, for him. That being 3-1 for us, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I'm going to disagree, Matt. The only reason I say this is because both of these teams are defensively structured teams. One of them is going to have to take possession of the ball and play some possession football. I think it's going to be Forrest, and I don't think Forrest can do it yet. So I'm actually going to pick United here, and this is why I was a little... I said this a week ago, so I'm going to stick by my point that I'm worried for Forest in the top four race. I have to say my crazy points now. Give me United in a 2-1 victory.
Okay. They're going to lose 5-0. I'm going to hold you that when we go look at Man United.
They're going to lose 5-0 now.
Yeah. I'm going to hold you that. So our predictions are... The first game is predicted.
Yeah.
So I have Forest winning, you have Man United winning. Okay. We'll preview the rest of their season and Spurs, but we'll count these games on April 1st as our lock-ins for the first one.
There you go.
And what sucks is they play your team. So after this, we have Crystal Palace traveling to Southampton.
I'm going to go with a Palace 2-0 win here.
All right, guys. So just so I don't forget, all these games are approximately within 15 minutes of each other on Tuesday.
Sorry.
Actually, no, wait a minute. This is the last. No, now we're on Wednesday. I'm sorry. All of them are on Wednesday within 15 minutes of each other from here on out. All right. For this one, I got Crystal Palace giving a Glasner hello. 1-0.
I got 2-0 to the Super Eagles.
All right. Ipswich travel to Bournemouth. I think Areola is licking his lips at this game. I think that it's going to be a 3-0 to the Cherries.
Yeah, Bournemouth are still in this European fight. They have dropped off a little bit in form since we've talked about them being in fourth place at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they get back on the win sheet as well. I'm going to go with a 2-0 Bournemouth win.
All right, Villa travel to Brighton.
Oof. I feel like these guys play every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I think Brighton's going to get a draw. It's going to be, a draw in this game.
Both of them are in great form, so it's definitely a possibility. With the Villains creeping towards their next Champions League matchup, I feel like they have to be at top-tier shape, and I think they take this Brighton team very seriously. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 Villa win.
Got it. All right, next would be a Brentford travel to Newcastle.
Oof. Now, does Newcastle have a little bit of a hangover, especially against a tough side like Brentford? That's the biggest question, but I am going to go with a Newcastle 1-0 win.
I think Isaac's going to score simply because he knows he's got to make himself look like a almost $200 million player for these big teams.
The way he's playing right now, dude, he is looking like it. That's what I will say. You know, Sweden's got a great setup for the next 10 years with Gyökeres and Isaac, mm-hmm. by the way. I know a lot of people don't think that country's doing well, you know, statistically, but they are building something just really quickly on the Swedish national team. I'm excited for them.
They need their version of Odegaard or Rodri.
Just some midfield.
Or Zubimendi or somebody in the midfield to boost this amazing attack they have going.
Exactly. What's next up?
All right, next up, so we go Leicester. Oh my God! Travel to Manchester City. They face another Manchester team. This is gonna be another 3-0, and then the Man United fans will be like, "Oh, we're on the same level." Even though we lost to Forest, we're on the same level.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 3-0 to City.
I already did that for myself. All right, so up next, Merseyside Derby, Everton travel to Anfield.
And Liverpool, who have not looked pretty. International break came at the right time for them after losing in the Carabao Cup final, in the Champions League, as well as I think they lost
in
the
league.
Yeah, but
this derby in the last couple of years has kind of come back to being like a trap game for Liverpool.
Exactly. Because Everton haven't been good historically over the last
couple
of years.
They've been good against
Liverpool. Exactly. This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be intense. I am going to go with a draw. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think Everton I think Moyes has something for this Liverpool side.
Gotcha. All right, last game of the midweek. We have Tottenham travel to Chelsea for the shambles derby of London.
Seriously. Oh, Matt. You know, I'm just hoping Nico Jackson does play, and I'm not talking hoo-ha here, but like, if Nico Jackson doesn't play, I'm worried for Chelsea a little bit because, you know, for all the gripe we give Spurs, it is still Spurs. They're a tough team. They have they're up for the big games like Arsenal, like Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So it is a London derby. The last one was chaos. It was a 4-3 game with Nico getting a hat trick and missing like 7 sitters. Who do you have in this one? I can't decide.
If Van der Ven isn't back, I'm going Chelsea 1-0.
Okay. I'm going to go with red cards for both teams. I'm going to have a 1-0 Chelsea win as well.
Okay. So we both have Chelsea beating Spurs.
Yep. So Spurs is going to win. Cool.
Yeah. But I'm saying for our predictions.
Yeah, okay.
So I have Forest beating United. You have United beating Forest. And we both have Chelsea beating Spurs. We're going to sideline this for a stoppage time. I feel like continuing. Do you want to continue?
Let's do it.
Up? All right. You bring up the Champions Leagues because I know we wanted to cover those. So I know the first one we're going to cover is the Arsenal-Real Madrid.
Yes.
Now,
and we're in our stoppage time, by the way, guys. Just
guys,
for
we're
everyone.
Shifting over to stoppage time. We're just not going to stop. We're just we're feeling it.
Yeah, we're cooking right
I'm
now.
I'm up on a monster. Paco's asleep. Reese is rejuvenated by expelling toxins from his body. We're all feeling good here in the 443 studios in sunny North Phoenix.
Oh, my gosh.
So
we're going to be predicting some Champions League
football.
So
we'll do Arsenal-Real Madrid first because we know this one by heart.
Well, we don't know this one by heart.
Well, no. Like, we knew it exists by heart.
Okay.
Like, I don't know the Barca who Bar. I think I know who Barcelona's playing, but I need to look that up. I know this bracket that I'm in, my
gotcha.
Team is in.
Gotcha.
I know that Villa versus PSG and Arsenal versus Real Madrid. In Arsenal versus Real Madrid, I want my team to win, but I'm realistic Arsenal fan, and I think that...
So hold on. We're predicting to who advance or who wins this singular game? Let's do who
those
advances.
Two advances. Okay. I just predict that Real Madrid advance, but I predict that they only do it by a one goal lead.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Real Madrid as well advancing.
I don't know if it's going to be 2-1, 1-0.
I don't think it's going to be a high scoring aggregate.
I don't
affair.
Think Arsenal's going to take them to penalties. I think Real Madrid is going to win this on the pitch, but I think it's going to be tight. It's going to be by a one goal win.
Mbappe, Vinny, and Rodrigo heading to the Emirates. That's so fun. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, man. Into the next game here, guys. We got Bayern hosting Inter.
Well, we didn't cover Villa versus PSG.
What? We're going down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good.
We got Bayern hosting Inter Milan. Well, not hosting. First leg they're hosting, obviously. But who do you have advancing, Bayern or Inter?
This final eight is really good. I got to see Inter Milan play. I haven't been able to see Bayern play this year, but...
Shout out Vincent Kompany. Yeah. Burnley legend.
I kind of feel it's going to go to Inter, and I don't know... I don't know if this is going to be a penalty one or something. I just don't know.
Great. This is why I know you have ball knowledge, my friend, because Inter are such a good side this season. They have been good in the Champions League over the last several seasons. I also have Inter going through, but man, Bayern are fun to watch. Kane is on a heater still, so it's good to see him on form at his age. But yeah, I think Inter's too tough defensively as well. So.
What gives me the kind of inkling is because I've seen Inter play. Inter took on Arsenal before all the injuries just slaughtered them. I think Ben White was the only one we had injured at that point. Mm-hmm. And it was a fast-paced, tough game, both defensive monsters, and they got their one. Even though it was controversial, they earned their goal.
Yeah. What I think is most impressive about this Inter side is Simone Inzaghi literally can change out his 11 and just still play top-tier Inter football. Now, they're obviously not going to do that in the Champions mm-hmm. League, but... it's just more to show that they have a lot of options.
But my Bayern friend, who is like, when they played Arsenal last year, and they played, I forget who they played in the next round. I think it was, had to be Real Madrid because they won the tournament. In both those, he was just like, yeah, you flip a coin 100 times. I think 52 of them go to Bayern and win this game.
Fair enough.
Both times. However, in this game, he's just like, I think it's 50-50. I don't know who's going to win this. It's got me worried. And I go... He goes, he takes a lot of stock in that Arsenal Inter game because it was one of the biggest games they had in the Inter had. And he goes, yeah, they just, when it's a 50-50, they make it 51-49.
Yeah. It's going to be a huge, that's my favorite of the games, by the way, of the round of 16? No.
Right.
Quarterfinals.
Yeah, quarterfinals.
Sorry about that. This is my favorite.
Elite Eight to do a March Madness tie.
There you go. Now, back into Matt's side of the bracket here. We have PSG, very hot PSG, having to... Can I speak some English? We have PSG playing Aston Villa in the quarterfinals here. Matt, I'll go first.
Very informed, sexy, so hot right now, PSG.
Indeed.
Versing a hot and cold Aston Villa under Unai Emery.
But they are very hot in the Champions League this season. But I am going to go with PSG advancing, although I do see a scenario where it is a very good evening. You know, he is a great manager at the end of the day. This is a fun team to watch.
So I was talking with our friend Rafa and Josh, our Bayern fan at work, and Arsenal kind of handled PSG. I don't follow Ligue 1. So they both told me that they're like, yeah, no, whatever you did to them, they made changes quickly after that, and now they're a completely different team.
Yeah. They just play with so much pace, and they don't have... Sometimes they play...
I didn't realize that they were this good.
Until you saw it on display against Liverpool, man. Mm-hmm. Neither did I, really, honestly. But who do you got going advancing in this one?
So there's a school of thought in my head, if I have like delegates in my Senate, that think that Unai is going to get up for this, because...
I agree, man.
He gets up for the big games. He's their former coach. I think just like with Arsenal, he's got something to prove. Just he doesn't play them as much.
Yeah.
He won trophies with them. I think, you know, I imagine maybe a bit more amicable let go of him, but it's his old boys. I think he wants to prove himself. I think he's going to give him a challenge, but ultimately I think PSG is going to go through. But
you have me thinking that you're going to go
but
through.
No, like it's 40-60.
Yeah, for sure.
There is a part of me that thinks that Villa can win this.
100%. And it's a totally different play style from Liverpool as well that PSG have to allocate for, so... Definitely a possibility. Probably the least entertaining matches, in my opinion, of the quarterfinals. We have Barcelona versus Dortmund. Dortmund struggling in the Bundesliga this season. Barcelona is still
on
the heater.
The yellow walls are crumbling.
Yeah. Shout out to the people. But I'm going to go Barcelona.
Yeah, Barb. All right. You ready to get into some Man United and Tottenham previews?
Let's do it.
All right. So we already covered this week, the midweek games. Let's get into the April 5th weekend games. Let's see who Manchester United play Manchester City. So right now you have Man United winning and I have Man United losing.
So Forest,
you're at three,
yes.
I'm at zero. Who do you have them for Man City?
I'm going to go with a City win.
I'm going to go for City win also. So now I have them on 0 points. Yeah. You have them on three. Okay. All right, let's go to Tottenham. Tottenham play Southampton.
We could both agree
Southampton. I think this is going to be a draw.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go with Southampton. Or not Southampton. I'm going to go with Spurs, I mean, because I do think Spurs are too good for this team.
You have Spurs on three. I have Spurs on one because we both predicted Chelsea to beat them. Okay. Yes. Now we move into match week 32. Man United play Newcastle. I have them losing this game to Newcastle. I still have Man United on 0 points. 0 points.
I have Newcastle winning that game as well.
So you have Manchester United on 3 points. I have them on zero.
Okay.
All right. Let's look at who Spurs play. Spurs play Wolves.
Man, so they're getting the relegation teams.
I think this is going to be another draw.
Okay.
So I have Spurs on 2 points. You have them on how many?
No faith for our Spurs team. I'll give Spurs the win here as well.
No, my faith is more in Wolves finding their playing style and clawing their way out of this relegation fight.
Okay, respect. I'm going to go with Spurs still.
I just think that their wide open defense will give the players that Spurs have. Okay, so who do you have winning this one? Do you have Spurs winning or drawing it?
I have Spurs at 6 points now.
Okay, you have Spurs at six. You have Man United three. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so now we go into match week 33. We have Man United playing Wolves. I have this as a draw.
Okay.
So now I have them Man United on 1 point. Who do you have where you have Man United?
Wolves are predominantly ran by Portuguese members of the staff. Amorim is Portuguese. Give me Amorim's arrival. Give me United winning that game. I got him on 6 points.
Okay. And now Spurs play. Where are Spurs here? Spurs play Nottingham Forest.
I got Forest winning that one.
I have Forest winning too. So right now I have Tottenham on 1 point or 2 points. Two points. And United on...
No,
I predicted they were going to draw this game one point.
Okay.
We should have written this down.
Here, let me write it down really quick. Let me just. United, Matt.
1 point.
One.
Spurs, Matt. 2 points. I think, right?
Yep. And then Reese, six?
Six for Spurs and four for United. Or do you have six for United? I forget now.
I have them beating...
You have them beating Forest, and you have them beating Wolves?
Wolves. Yeah. So 6 points, okay.
Okay.
Six and four? Or yep. Six and six?
Six and six for you.
Okay.
All right, now we go into match week 34. Manchester United play Bournemouth. I have Bournemouth winning this game.
Give me a draw. I'll take a draw.
Mark them down.
So 7 points for United?
Yep, for you, and then I have them at losing this game, so I think I'm on one.
Okay.
All right. Tottenham face Liverpool.
I got 0 points for Spurs.
I got 0 points for Spurs. Okay. All right. Now we move into match week 35. We have Manchester United playing Brentford. I have them losing this game as well. What about you, sir? And
So I kind of think about this game similar to the Forest game, where one of these teams has to play possession
United
football.
United is traveling to Brentford. They're traveling to London for this one. That helps you.
Why do I have faith in Amorim? Give me the United Devils, brother.
Okay, mark it down.
10 points for United.
All right.
Oh, no. I don't like this.
Spurs face West Ham in what tenacious derby. I got Spurs drawing this.
Okay. So you're up to 3 points for Spurs.
Mm-hmm. I'm at 1 point for United, I think.
And I'm up to 9 points on Spurs. I have them winning.
You have more faith in these teams than I do.
I do.
All right. Now we move into match week 36. There's three more games. West Ham versus Man United. I predict United win this game.
I do too. 13 points for United for me.
Crystal Palace travel to Tottenham. I predict a draw for this game.
Okay, so you have 4 points for Spurs. I will give them the win. I have them at 12 points. Man, look at me showing faith in the Spurs.
And your boys and your fam. All right, next up now we have Manchester United face Chelsea in match week 37. The next to the last weekend. I say Chelsea win this.
Okay, so you're at zero. You still have 4 points for United for the rest of the season.
No, there's one more game left after this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a draw. I have them going to 14 points.
Tottenham play Aston Villa away. I think Villa win this.
I also think Villa win that. Okay.
Now we're in a squeaky bum dime for teams like Chelsea and Villa that have to win to keep their City, European spots.
City, Forest, all these guys. Yep.
Okay. Now we're in the final match week. Man United travel to Villa. Or sorry, Villa traveled to Man United. I have Villa winning this one. They have to win this one.
They do have to win this one, I agree.
We don't know where they're going to be at, but this is a game they have to win, a game they can win Europe, at, yes. in Old Trafford. So let me know where I'm at with Man United.
So you finished with Man United getting 4 points the rest of the season.
Okay.
Matthew United.
All right. Tottenham play. Where are you, Spurs? Oh, there you are. Why they got him down there? That's weird. Okay. Brighton travel to face Spurs. I have this being a Brighton win.
Okay.
Because Brighton is also in some sort of European competition chances, too.
I'm going to give Spurs a point. I think this is a very open-ended game. All right, goals will be scored. So you have 4 points for both teams the rest of the season. So basically, one accumulated win and a draw for the rest of the season for Spurs and United. I have 13 points for Spurs and 14 points for United. I got a lot of faith in
all
you
right,
guys,
let's,
man.
Let's put a pin in this. Can you like copy and like screenshot there or something and send it to me in text?
Yeah, I got you.
Let's hold this. I think we're both going to be wrong, but I want to see who's closer to being right in this. You have a lot of faith
We'll do a lunch bet on this.
Okay.
Okay, so United
for Chili's?
Yeah, of course. Duh, of course. What do you mean? Alrighty, guys. So just again, for the people listening, Matt has United and Spurs accumulating 4 points the rest of the season.
I'm the pessimist or the optimist.
Exactly. And I have Spurs getting 13 points and 14 points for United the rest of the season. So, guys.
You have a lot of faith in this United side.
That seems like a lot of points for the rest of the season.
What points are Man United on right now? I'm going to check the table. Let's see where this puts. Like,
they just make top four. let's see. Right now.
So Man United are on 37 points. You basically have them taking half their point total in the final couple games and basically one-thirding their points.
I have them finishing where Forest are now, which is around 54 points. So,
okay. Yeah. And Spurs are on 34, and you have them finishing.
So that would be about 48 points by the end of the season where City is currently at. Okay.
Hey,
you know what? I'm not mad
and
at that.
I have them finishing with four more points each. So that means United are on 41, which puts them where Bournemouth and Brentford are right now. Oh, no, sorry, just Brentford. And putting four on Spurs puts them at 38.
Right where United and Palace are.
The United and Palace are. Right in sandwich in between those guys.
United and Spurs. I need you guys for a lunch to finish
top 10.
I have
both these teams finishing bottom half of the table.
Okay. You want to do this instead? You want to do United and Spurs finish? You have them finishing bottom 10?
I think, yeah. Well, I want to keep the points because this will be the gauge on how right one of us is. So if they finish on like 8, it goes to you.
Okay. So whoever
if
the points
finish
closer
on
to.
6, it goes to me. This for example.
Okay, cool. Alrighty, guys.
And if it we'll figure out the math, and if it falls in between both of them, then we'll just call it a draw.
Sounds good. And guys, just so you know, we are always betting Chili's. No other restaurant comes close. Chili's, give us a call. Doesn't even have to pay us. Just send
Chili's,
us some merch.
I'm a stockholder in your company.
Yep.
I own 2. I'm building it up.
Send us a triple dipper or something. Just anything would work. But
We continue to extol one of the greatest restaurants and companies, well-run companies. You guys haven't sold out to a big conglomerate. You guys are keeping to your core message. You guys are a stock buy in my book.
Free chips and salsa for if you get the app, dude. It's a broken combo there. So we love you guys. But guys, this has been a huge episode.
We will return in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Because I'm going to be gone the weekend of the 5th.
Yes.
Oh, no, we're going to try and do one more before I leave. Yeah, cool. Because of the midweek games.
So we will see you guys next week, hopefully. If not, we will, of course, make that communicated.
So just spitballing here on this thing here, we may need to just do a quick recap of where the table stands after match weeks 31 and 32. So we may come into match week 33 and just kind of say, hey, here's what happened, not discuss the games. Because I'm going to be honest with you, they're played at the time they're played. It's prime touristy time where I'm going. And we'll discuss my trip when I get back.
Yes, guys. He's going to a very cool area of the world, and he's also watching some huge football games for their respective countries.
Well, actually, the team I'm watching is going to be playing a bottom feeder when I'm there, so that's how I got tickets for it.
Hey, that's free points, brother. Hey, get to celebrate.
Right. You ready to call it a game? Or call it a day at 1 hour, and basically 1 hour right now.
Perfect, guys. We'll see you next week. Matt, right. Close us out.
Live long, watch some football, lads, and see you midweek.